because I feel like that I am being, you know, very redundant, saying the very same thing. But you know, in this business, I believe you know what you know. You believe what you believe. I think there are, as we have referred to them here recently, I think there are key pressure points in the business that if you're going to build, if you're going to explode, you know, the one thing that I think that all of us do understand is that in your organization, people have to know where you've planted your flag. They have to sense, smell your conviction for what you do every day. And there cannot be, you know, you just, you know, we talked about it, I think it was on our last call, you know, you got to be strong mentally. And, you know, I think it's, you know, the way that I look at it, it's those people that are strong mentally that really differentiate themselves from the rest of the world. You know, I mean, guys, we have a level playing field. You know, everybody plugs into the same conference calls. Everybody attends the same leadership conferences. Everybody will attend the same January National Convention. So when you start looking at those that have had great growth and maybe those that are, you know, kind of in this neutral position or maybe they're not having the growth that they want to. And, oh, by the way, I think that that's part of the process. You know, I think that a lot of you probably had exceptional Novembers or exceptional last quarters or exceptional 07s, and maybe, and not only maybe, I would say most likely that the scoreboard or that your numbers have not yet caught up to your desire and to your will. You know, the thing that I love about this call, and guys, if you hear nothing else I say today, I want you to hear one thing loud and clear. The guy that is doing the call today, which is me, if you only knew how much respect that I have for each of you and for what you do and for your toughness and for your desire and for what you have to go through every day in the building process. You know, I don't get on these calls because Barry has all the answers. I get on this call because I want to share with you what I have experienced over the last 27 years and things that I do believe in very strongly. But I want you, as I was telling, I think it was Brian Morton and I were talking the other day, and as I was telling Brian, I said, Brian, you know, if I had all the answers, you know, I promise you the world would be a better place for me, right? But I said, you know, most of the business, and when I look over the 27 years that I've been doing this, I've got to let you know that most of those years I feel like I struggled in the business. And so if you don't get off to some great, unbelievable start, or you feel like that, you know, dadgummit all, you know, I mean, why isn't this working? Why isn't that working? Just understand, you know, maybe the reason you and I relate to each other pretty good is because, you know, I think I spent 20-some years in that position. But I got to tell you something, I wouldn't trade it for anything. I wouldn't trade, you know, being in business the way that I have been in business. I wouldn't trade the freedom that I've had over the 27 years. I wouldn't trade the victories that I've had in this business over the 27 years. So saying all of that, I want to zero in on really two or three very specific things today, okay? Number one, I want us to reflect, which I want to do right now, on our November 2 to remember. We had a fabulous November. Scoreboard-wise, we did not break our record. We did not hit our 4,000 apps in a week. But I've got to let you know something. I don't in any way, shape, or form look at that and say, well, man, we didn't win in November. I was sharing, I think it was on Wednesday on our 12:30 managers call, We had some of the greatest victories of the year in November because we had some $20,000 and $30,000 and $40,000 agencies and teams that double their production in the month of November. We had a number of those teams that double their best week ever in income, in recruiting, in production. So that was very good. You know, I have always said this, and I want to go back and I want to say it right now, and I want you to stamp this in your brains today. I believe the most important year or the most pivotal year where NAA could have gone in one of two directions happened to be the year of 2004. And many of you have heard me say this when we do our regional meetings, but boy, how appropriate for today's call. You know, NAA was very fortunate in that we got off to a great start in our first full calendar year when we really kind of got our feet under us in 2003. We were averaging, as we started that year, about 175, 180 apps a week, and by the end of the year, we had grown that to 800 apps a week. And I don't care how you keep score, that's some pretty significant growth in our industry doing what we do for a company that had a lot of adversity in its first couple of years. So we did that. We go into 2004, and, you know, we are right at that 800 app a week mark, which is pretty good stuff. You know, we do our first national convention in Atlanta. We have a great meeting. We leave that. But why 2004 was a very pivotal year for us was for this reason. And I think it's kind of going to go, and if you will relate it to yourself, why I think 2007 has been a great year for a lot of you. At the end of 2004, we were still averaging 800 apps a week, okay? Now, to the world, it would have been very easy to look and say, well, guys, you were kind of flatlining. Now, our premium doubled because we averaged the 800 apps a week for the 52 weeks, okay? So it looked premium-wise like we doubled, but we were really flatlining based on last quarter of 2003. Now, we started saying that what? We were going to manage activity with a vengeance. We were going to communicate. You know, we were going to do a lot of meetings. We were going to do this. We were going to do that. But we were going to be in everybody's face, and we were going to try our best to promote, you know, and create peer pressure on our leaderboards, on our recognition, blah, 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 okay? So we did all of that, and we kind of stuck with that. We go into the summer of really it was late summer of 2004, scratching our heads saying, why in the heck, with our effort, aren't we really starting to double our apps? You know, the leads are picking up, we're doing this, we're doing that, what happens? And that was when really the regional meetings started. You know, we go out, we do the 26 regional meetings in 6 weeks across the country, and September, we come back, October, November, December, guess where we are? Same 800 apps a week, although we did have like the second week of December in 2004, we ended up having hitting 1,000 apps or something like that, but still, at the end of the day, the scoreboard was registering. We were still averaging 800. Now, we go into 2005, and that was the first quarter, which many of you understand and I've talked about, is that we went from averaging 800 apps a week by the end of March to we had gone over 2,000 apps a week. So in a lot of ways, you could look at that and say, hey, guys, you know, we double the company. You double the company in 90 days going in 2005. And, you know, yeah, we had a great convention, this and that. But I really believe, guys, that we stuck with our fundamental game plan in 2004. And no matter what it looked like, we never, ever got away from the simple things of saying we're going to manage activity, we're going to communicate, we're going to be in people's face, but we will let the world know that here's the way we're going to run our business. Now, I say all that to come back and say this to you. We have talked to the point of nausea, I understand, that you must have a very defined management philosophy. And everyone on your team needs to understand what that is. And I'm going to try to articulate that a little clearer on some points to you today that I want you to write down. But you've got to have some core beliefs in the business. And you can't get knocked off your wagon, because here's the key to it. And I love this analogy, is that when you wake up every day, okay, or if you decide, hey, here's the way that I'm going to build the organization. The reason I love this call is because, you know, my passion in the business, you know, you hear Philip talk a lot about his passion for the consumer, because he went through that as an individual and as a family. And so the consumer is what just makes Philip Hudgens tick, and I love him for that. But that is, I got to be honest, yeah, I love what we do and all, but my passion is for the people on this phone right now, because of your sheer guts of saying, I'm going to go build a team and build an organization, and you can look at me, I am a leader, and I'm not going to show hurt, and I'm going to develop mental toughness. Truth, I love working with you, and I love so many of you that have not yet become an agency, but you know, you are a team leader right now, and you're trying to get to that point of, you know, becoming an agency and going on and becoming a master agency. So I kind of keep wanting to drill that in you, because I know you get beat up. And so here's an important thing that you got to understand, is that when you make your mind up you're going to be a leader and you're going to do something great, about 95% of your day, okay, now hear me clearly on this, 95% of you waking up and everything you do throughout the course of the day, when it comes to the point that you're trying to add to your code number base and you're trying to produce leaders, is going to be adversity. It's going to be fighting the opposition, okay? And so much of the business, it's a reaction business. It's how you react to adversity. It's how you react to your number one guy quitting. It's how you react to showing up to an opportunity meeting and one person is there, okay? So if you don't, in your heart of hearts, have a mind that is sealed on your conviction of the way you want your business to look and smell and operate, then what happens? See, you know, that's the reason I've been drilling your rear ends on not being a mental sissy, but having mental toughness in what you do, because I know people are going to be trying to knock your freaking ass off the block every time you go out and try to do something. And some of you, you get so, you react badly. It throws you off track. You go into this mental, kind of depression. And you never, and you can't do that because people all, let me tell you something. You get a big paycheck. You have a big production week. Man, anybody can be happy in those times. I'm telling you, the real winners that are going to make a difference in your business are the people that are sitting back sometimes looking at how you respond when things aren't going well, how you react when the going gets tough, okay? So when I get talking about this philosophy of the way you want your business to look or your game plan, I talk about it with some real conviction, because I'm telling you guys, that's the difference in whether you become with NAA, if you really achieve financial freedom and financial independence. I believe that's the difference. I don't even know what else to discuss or talk with you about, really. If you're talking about team building, we can talk about a lot of things, and trust me, I can talk about a lot of things when it comes to that. But if you kind of want to, as we're zeroing in on the end of 07, I'm saying this to you, and I've heard it put this way many times. You know, you first of all have to build it in your mind. You've got to be able to visualize as a leader what things are going to look like 6 months from now. you know, what they're going to look like a year from now, what, you know, where your office is going to be located. You know, I believe you've got to visualize what it's like having an opportunity meeting with 120 people in it. You know, I think you got to visualize who's going to be speaking. I think you start from there, putting it on paper, really coming up with a blueprint, right? And as you start developing this blueprint, you know, just like an architect, okay, then I think once you start doing that, then I think you start building it and you start understanding. I think things start kind of progressing, you know, with the organization. So, again, you know, you build it in your mind, you build it on paper, and then I believe you really start building it. So I'm saying all of, I said all of that kind of on my point number one is to say this to you. You know, if you are a builder, okay, then basically here's what the two main focal points are that are important. And let me make sure, let me look at something, make sure I'm not getting ahead of myself, because this is, I'm telling you guys, we're talking about where the rubber meets the road right now, okay? In fact, I tell you what, before I go do that, let me give you a couple of things that I did, but I want you to write these down because you got to understand how important it is, okay? The thing that we are all collectively trying to do as builders is very simple, okay, conceptually. Okay, I'm not saying it's or in theory. I'm not saying it's easy when you get out there and you got to do it. But I am saying if you understand it, then what happens, it should direct your activity every day. And see, that's another big thing. You know, we want to be directed in our activity every day. The things that we do not want to do are do things as leaders that aren't really critically important to the bottom line. That's when you start talking about delegation. You know, I believe this. You, the people I'm talking to, you know, the guy sitting out in California right now drinking a cup of coffee, you know, sitting in his underwear, listening. I'm talking to you right this moment, okay? You're the most important person on your team. And so you've got to focus constantly on the bottom line. The things that are going to happen through the course of your business, you know, that aren't critical to the bottom line is which you delegate. I didn't say they weren't important to the business, but I'm saying this. There's only one most important person, and that's you. So you always got to see yourself that way, okay? So the thing that we're constantly trying to do is to add to our code number base. So I think there are two very important scoreboards that as a builder and as a leader you constantly have to look at. I think number one, it's your weekly recruits. And I just printed off, I'm not sure if this was on a national blast. If it's not, I'm sure it's coming out, but it was their November recruits for the month. Well, if you're an agency, you should go look at that. And that number should either, you know, when you look at it, you either need to smile or frown, and you can give a zillion excuses if you didn't have a recruit, but or if you didn't have a great recruiting month, but I've got to tell you something. Production always trails recruiting within 90 days down the road, okay? So I believe you've got to have three good, consistent, growing recruiting months before the production ever starts kicking in and catching up, okay? So I think it's important to understand it. But let me kind of, and I did this at 12:30, but I want to do it again with you only to keep proving my point that regardless of talent and regardless of your charisma, you know, your brain power and every other thing, and a lot of you are talented beyond belief, but it comes down to this. The people that have the most writing codes write the most business. The number one agency the last week or the third week of November, because that's what I'm looking at, but it's the same every week, so understand that point, is that the number one agency for the week was Ralph Simpson. He had $156,752 in premium. He was also the number one person with the most unique writers. He had 41. The number two most unique writers was Jeremy Rowe with 35 people within the agency that wrote premium. Guess what that reflected to? $134,689 in premium, number two. The Wallace team was number three. They had 32 people in their writing business. Now here's my point. And guys, if there's one thing that should make you get up when the, and I mean fight with a vengeance every day, okay? And it's something that's so powerful about our system. I didn't say that NAA is perfect. I didn't say your lead program's perfect. I mean, you can talk to some people every day, and it was this way when I was doing it in 94, that are at the top of a building with the window open getting ready to jump out because the world's caving in, okay? I understand, and I believe 10 years from now it's going to be the same thing. But let me give you a hard, cold fact that's so great about what we do and about the insurance business and about our company, because here's the bottom line. I didn't say Ralph Simpson had 400 people in his agency writing business every week. I didn't say that, did I? I said Ralph Simpson has 40 people that are writing business in his agency every week that on a run rate, and you've been looking at the same leaderboards I have been, is yielding him $600,000 to $800,000 of commissionable new insurance premium every 30 days. Okay? You know, a $8-9 million run rate just in the agency, not thinking about his agency managers. I said that Jeremy Rowe had 35 producing agents that on a run rate is over $500,000 a month of insurance premium, okay? So I'm not talking about going to medical school and going through residency for 10 or 15 years, you know. I'm not talking about a lot of things. I'm talking about your ability to over the next 90 days or over the next 24 months or over the next 12 months or the next 36 months, developing 30 to 40 people that can write premium, that can produce an app every month. If you do that, guys, you gotta listen to this, that equals $1 million income in the NAA system. Okay? You know, maybe we ought to just get off the phone and just focus on that right now. What I'm telling you, if you look at our top leaders, I wish I could say they were averaging 30 to 40 producers, but it's not true. They're averaging more. If you look at our top 10, they're averaging 25 personal producers, okay, personal producers every week, and that equals $1 million in the NAA income world. So if you say, well, man, what would happen? You say, well, Barry, my goal isn't to make $1 million. Okay, well, then you got to think of getting 10 to 12 producers every single week, okay? Isn't it amazing how the world works out when you do those things? So I always like to kind of break it down that simple to say, you know what, if it's tough to have to go get some producers, I understand that. But, you know, I thought this past Wednesday's call, in particular, I mean, it was a fabulous call. You know, we had Carrie and Ray on, a part of Brandon Ellison's team. But did you hear, I've heard Carrie, gosh, her last name's escaping me, Barron. Carrie Barron's story on a part-time basis, making $3,000 a month is what I walked away with on average. Started part-time, you know, came out of dentistry field and saying that, you know what, $36,000 a year is totally changing my whole world as far as my family and my children. And I'm saying this to you guys, that's what it's about. And that's what we've got to continue to do. One of the things that I said I was going to talk about on Wednesday was how critical it is that every recruit, you drive that down four generations of recruits, okay? So you got, you know, we call it taprooting, but you got to go four deep, I believe, to start finding the Carrie Barrons of the world out there that are going to do it. But I'm telling you, when you're committed to that, and you're, because see, let me give you a fact. Statistic. 9 out of 10 of your recruits are going to quit. Okay? I don't know if they're going to quit in the first 30 days. I know most quit early. Okay? So 9 out of 10 of them quit. Now, if that's the case, and that's a statistic, you can sit there, because it's funny, a lot of insurance companies want to talk about attrition. You know, Barry, how many people are you keeping? I got to tell you something. I'm never really concerned about it because I think those that are going to quit are going to quit. I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to worry about those that quit. To me, you may disagree with that, and I will respect your opinion. I never worry about those quitting, okay? You know, I just believe a quitter going to quit. But so my focus is on getting more. And so what happens if you never have a system that allows you to get, you know, it's kind of like if I go recruit John Smith. You know, I need to be committed to getting John to bring three people to the opportunity meeting next week. Well, you say, well, Barry, John wants to do it part-time. I don't give a rip what John wants to do. The first 30 days, John's in my training program, and I'm committed to running my system. And here's the reason I better be committed to running my system is because if I don't learn to drive depth quickly, you will never, ever get into the multiplication or duplication aspect of the business. You will always be doing addition. John can do whatever he wants after he gets out of the training program. But during the training program, John better be showing me he's got some credibility. And if he can't get 2, 3, 4 people to the opportunity meeting in the first week or two, John's sending a signal up that Barry Clarkson better be understanding that, Clarkson, you're working with the guy and spending your precious time with someone that has no credibility because he can't even get his mother to show up at a meeting with him. Okay? Now, as leaders, there are certain things that you've got to understand, and you've got to take the emotion out of this, and you got to run it like a business because statistics do not lie to you, okay? And so it's not, you know, I'm hoping John's going to make it. I'm going to pour my life into John. But if I come into, if I'm communicating to John that the opportunity meeting for the first week or two is kind of important, but no, that's okay, John, because you've told me that you really want to see if this works for you. And, John, you've told me that really you're not interested. Do you understand? If I went to work at Microsoft, do you think I'm going in and tell Microsoft or Bill Gates' management team, you know, I'm not really interested all that much in the way you do. Let me tell you why I'm here. I'm here because I want to make sure you're for real. Do you see how idiotic and stupid that is, just the concept of that, even thinking like that, I believe most people don't grow because they don't have a strong conviction. They let a part-time agent that doesn't even have a license, that knows nothing about nothing in their business, dictate to the manager what they're going to do while you go out and try to prove yourself to the recruit. It doesn't register. Does not make sense. And isn't it amazing, no matter what we try to talk about, no matter what discussion point we try to come up with, it all comes back full circle is to your management philosophy, your belief, your visualization as to what your business is going to look like, okay? And I got to tell you something. The right people come in with the right attitude. And I think that's the way you got to run your business, guys. And I could keep talking about it and talking about it, but I believe it's a fundamental fact. Two scoreboards critically important to you, your weekly code numbers of unique writers, and you better take a look at your recruiting numbers every single week when we blast it out. I'm telling you, it doesn't lie. It is what it is, okay? And it's kind of funny. I'm sitting here looking at the month of November. Guess who's number one? You know, Ralph Simpson, back with 52. You know, the next closest person is Stephen Davies with 35. Lynn Conley, way to go, Lynn Conley, 32. George Wilson, 32. Casey and Sarah Watkins at 27. Our guest Wednesday, Brandon Ellison at 26. Ed O'Rell with 25. Alex Fitzgerald at 24. Kyle Weinbrenner, 24. The Wallaces, 23. Mike Leventowicz, 21. Jeremy Rowe, 21. Right? Christine Butcher at 20. The Dendies at 20. See, when you're cut, you know, the people that do the most production constantly drive depth within their recruits. And so what I'm saying is this. May not happen day one, but you got to teach people how to drive depth. You got to be committed to an opportunity meeting. People have got to know what to say to get their guests to the meeting, right? You've got to be, you know, if there's one thing you've got to practice on in front of a mirror, you better learn to show the NAA override system, and you better be able to draw that out. People better get up. You know, you need to start hearing amens. You need to start hearing claps in a crowd. You know, I'm telling you, if there's something you need to get good at, it's not how to describe the product. It's how to show people the benefit of why they need to recruit, and that you're going to be recruiting for them for the first 3 or 4 or 5 weeks while they're getting their license. It's the most important time. Let's have a goal of you having 10 writing agents by the time you get your license. See, guys, these are the things you got to get. You know, I always say the business is not logical, it's emotional. You got to do such a good job that at nighttime they can't go to sleep because they're thinking, hey, wonder if I had 10 people that each made a sale in a week, and I got $782 in an override. Hey, wonder if I could teach each of them how to go do it. See, so I never buy into the fact that the recruit comes in and says, well, this is what I want to do. You don't even know what you want to do because you're not capable of having a complete thought in their business yet, right? I mean, that's got to be your attitude. Say, there, it's a little sarcastic. No, it's the truth. See, it's the way you're communicating the business. It's the way that you're selling it. And if you're a builder, you're doing one of two things. Either you're promoting sales or you're promoting team building, right? So, you know, think about those type of things. Okay, let me give you a couple of things that we're not going to finish today because I've but let me give you in closing a couple, two things. There are two main purposes. Now, what am I describing to you? Trying to give it to you in a way you can start developing everyone on the team understanding what your philosophy is. There are two main purposes of running a strong management or a strong agency base. Number one, people needs to know. People need to know that it provides tremendous financial rewards through a powerful override spread. Isn't that what I just talked to you about? It provides tremendous. It provides gigantic. It provides exponential type of income and financial rewards through a override spread. And see, it's one of the great things about the insurance business. We're not selling number two pencils and coffee cups. We happen to be the chosen ones. We happen to be the ones that work in an industry where there is great profit in what we do. Okay? And I always like to say, they're the insurance company's buddy. They can come out with great products. They can come out with great systems. But let me tell you what. The people that make the money are the people that have the ability to attract talent and move premium. If you feel like that's you, then you need to grasp every word I'm saying, my friends, because I'm getting ready to show you in your first year how you can go cash flow six figures. Okay? See, I can talk about this stuff, guys. I'm telling you, you gotta get good at selling what we do. Some of you are scared to draw a circle up on a board because you're afraid of somebody's gonna think, well, is this a pyramid? You know, see what I'm saying? You've gotta be able to convey the message. Number two, our philosophy in our office, not NAA, our philosophy in our office is this. We run an agency factory. The source of all future leadership sets the example for your team. That's the reason I believe every team leader, hey, the people plugging into this call today, this is your first call, you know. Everything you do every day, you're teaching somebody something. Okay? All righty. We run a factory, and there are two main focal points of that factory. Number one, it is a continuous opening of outlets. Why do we develop leadership? Because we want to have an office in every major metropolitan area in the United States. And I would start giving an example of a Coke machine. I guarantee you, you can't go on a corner that there's not a Coke machine. You know, Coke started out with Coke, and then they added this product and this deal and that deal, right? And so now it's a business of outlets, right? One of NAA's, you know, commitments is, you know, and you're seeing it right now. We just had the biggest annuity week we've ever had. We're coming out with products. You know, we're going to be in the senior market. We're going to be doing this. We're going to be doing that. Now, if you want to take advantage of all the products, you know, a lot of people get excited about products, and I don't know why, because they have nobody to move the product. See, we've been committed to developing our infrastructure, to getting your management team set up. And I'm saying this to you. NAA can't be the only company that is interested in having a office in every major metro area in the United States of America. See, that's got to be your philosophy. See, you've got to sell that. Maybe if you're in the state of Georgia, maybe you're saying, you know, it starts out this, you know, our commitment is this. We want to have an outlet in every population city over 100,000, you know, population within 30 minutes in any direction. See, you've got to have a dream. But if you can't start talking about that with conviction and excitement, and here's their plan. See, there's got to be a race for these outlets, right? You know, the outlets aren't going to be around forever, right? There are a whole lot fewer outlets today than there were 5 years ago if you look at NAA, you know? So, I mean, there is a race for this stuff. This is something that's not going to be here forevermore. And I think it's important, you know, you look at that as negative, or you look at it how you want to, it's a fact, right? So you've also got to be finding people that have a sense of urgency. And we just talked about the second point of the focal point is that once you have your outlet out there and you have this office, then it's a continuous volume production through these outlets, right? There are two things or two levels of the agency factory. Number one, you're developing a system whereby recruiting never stops. Boy, that's an important one. You've got to develop a system whereby recruiting never stops. It's the reason, guys, I'm so big on these weekly opportunity meetings. The day you quit recruiting is the day your business starts going backwards, because let me tell you something, and tell you why it's very important, people gonna quit. So if you're not continuing to add to the new population, you know, a couple things happen. People quit. Maybe worse than quitting is the stagnation and the stench of people with attitude issues that, you know, and we won't go into that. That's the difference. So, but you know, it's the lifeblood of that new recruit coming in, right? So it's a system whereby recruiting never stops. It's also a system where you're constantly promoting new leadership. Remember, you've heard me talk about this? Fall leadership 2004, we made a company commitment that we were going to start promoting agencies like there was no tomorrow. And I'm telling you, I'm not happy with the level we're promoting them, but boy, it is a heck of a whole lot better than where it was 2 or 3 years ago, okay? And I shouldn't say I'm not happy, because that's one thing that we're starting to see a lot of. That has really turned around over the last 6 months, and it's why our application factory is growing so much. Okay, now, the number one challenge to great growth, okay, number one, it's the agency promotion speed must equal your recruiting speed, okay? Now, a lot of you may not understand that one. All I'm saying is this, is that you got to keep them coming and going, okay? The longer, I'm not saying to premature promote anybody, but I'm saying the bigger, the more people you're recruiting, the quicker you're going to spin people out that are hitting it and earning it by the guidelines, which I'm a big advocate of that, okay? Number two, I think it's important, and this is a challenge to great growth. You've got to be promoting agencies constantly to show people that your factory works, right? That your factory works. This is an office of success. The raw material are these people showing up at the opportunity meeting. It's the agency that you can look at as the finished product within the system. All great builders, hey guys, listen to this one. All great builders have and develop great agency hierarchies. All great builders do that. You're not a great builder if you're not constantly promoting great leadership, okay? Some good stuff, guys. We can take each of these points and spend a couple hours if we had the time. One of the things I think you got to do from day one, and I'm going to just close with this because my next topic gets into some other stuff that I think would be better for a different call, but you've got to promote the power of the agency position is early on. You've got to constantly, every meeting, talk about the value of that, right? Anyway, that is that's the way the deal works. Now, tell you what I may end up doing. There's a great probability that I'm out of town next Friday, but if I am in town, I want to do 2 more weeks before we close the year out on this. And the last call that we do this year, and I'll try to get a schedule out to you beginning of the week. I want to kind of do a great planning session with you for 08 in the first quarter, that maybe we try to set aside an hour and a half that day. But, guys, I just want to keep drilling in you, and I know that sometimes it gets tough having to listen to it every builder's call, but it's a business of code numbers, and I want you to get so good at op meeting and driving depth. And it doesn't happen by just talking about it. There's got to be a system and a clarity that every new recruit knows what they do the first 30 days. And, you know, that's what I wanted to get much more in depth with today. And I just, all of this was kind of setting up for that. So I will do all I can do to do a call next week, but I'll know that on Monday or Tuesday if I can. So anyway, guys, continue building, continue doing the right things, stay mean and lean, develop toughness within the group, talk about the power of our system, and then go out there and just improve it in having promotions and big paychecks, and your business will catch fire. But guys, it starts with you, your personal conviction, your personal commitment. People have got to sense it, that there is a new leader in town, and I think great things will happen, okay? Have a great weekend. It is always, always, always a pleasure to brainstorm with you, and I believe we're going to have we will be a billion-dollar company because of the people that are on this call, period.